Good morning. Glad to see each one of you here. A lot of illnesses out there today, and yay for everybody who's able to be here today. Just thankful for that. Let's just start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to be here. We are grateful to be your people, and we are grateful for your Son and for your Spirit, for what you've done in us. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this opportunity to just take time to dwell on your word this morning. Father, would you speak to our hearts? Would you comfort those even here today that need to be comforted? We thank you for Kim Cummings and for her work on this lesson. And Lord, we just ask that you would continue that work of your Spirit. Keep it going. I pray today, Lord, that we would be built up in our faith and that Christ would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Our lesson title this week is A Love That Offers Hope and Action. And I kind of just fine-tuned it down to that one little word, comfort. That's really what it comes down to. And so far, we've had quite a study of several of the one another's from Scripture. We've had love one another, prefer one another before yourself, admonish one another. That was a little harder one. Serve one another, care for one another, forbear with one another, bear one another's burdens, and speak truth with one another. And these are definitely some challenging and difficult one another's to do, but God is so wise in giving these to us. Because by compelling us to focus on these one another's, the ironic thing is that they actually cause us to look within, right? We look within ourselves and realize we are powerless. We need his help to accomplish these things, and we rely on God. So God is not wasteful at all in his sanctification of us. There's this continual circle in which we are comforted, and therefore we can comfort others. So today we're going to focus on the one another that encompasses this tenderness and gentleness. Comfort one another. So I just want to ask, and we're being recorded here, so you have to speak up a little bit if you can, but what are some things that bring us comfort? When you think of needing to be comfort, what comes to your mind?
Having family together.
Ooh, family together, yeah.
Hymns.
Music. Hymns, oh yeah, music, totally. That's a good one. Anything else?
Hot tea soup.
Hot tea soup. Am I the only one thinking of food here? Yeah. Anything else?
A nice hug.
Mm. Yeah, human touch, right? Yeah, hug.
Scripture.
Scripture, definitely. Yeah, there are lots of things. But when you think about it, our comfort for the believer rests on the foundation that really everything has purpose. And if you think of comfort being like a building, the walls of comfort are the hope that we have that God's word is true. And I think the roof of that comfort is the fact that everything will be made right. Everything is going to get better. In fact, it will be perfect. It won't just be okay. It's going to be an okay made out of diamonds and gold, precious stones. What really comforts us is what lies ahead of us. And what lies ahead of us isn't just workable, it's not just acceptable, it's not just satisfactory or mediocre. What lies ahead of us is joy unspeakable. It's the cessation of all pain, all hurt, and all tears. And what lies ahead of us is a very satisfied contentment. It's not the contentment like, okay, I'll just bear it. I'll learn to live with something. But it's that fully satisfied contentment where we can say with the psalmist, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And it's the contentment where ultimately God himself says, he exults over us with loud singing. This is the finality of glorification that we have to look forward to. So the believer has the right to be comforted. Comfort is yours. So let's look back at the verse at the top of our page, on page 122 in your books. Kathy, would you just read that for us?
Sure.
Nice and loud.
Therefore, comfort one another with these words.
That's a short little verse. Easy peasy. It's a very simple command. It's easy to understand. Just comfort one another. We don't even need to look up the Greek word. We get it. It's just very straightforward. And it's even easy to facilitate because we're told how to do it. We have that little bonus with these words. Comfort one another with these words. And God uses both people and his word to comfort us. So it takes his people, it takes his words of truth. So I'd like to focus this morning on that little phrase, with these words. So with these words, we will proceed with these words. So the word of God is a fountain of comfort. Just the pure words of God alone. Because, of course, we know they aren't just words. They are living words. They are powered by the energy and the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who inspired these words, right? He communicated God's truth. Truth from the truth. And, of course, we know that Jesus himself is called the truth. And he's also called the Word of God. I love that. And it's him that we proclaim. We proclaim Christ, I think, every time we read these precious words. Because really all of Scripture, in a general way, has to do with Christ. We know that the Old Testament has shadows and types, and Pastor's been talking about that in his kingdom messages that he's been delivering. But Christ is truly the fulfillment of those types and shadows from the Old Testament. He's the fulfillment of the garden, of the Passover lamb, the law, the rock, the water, the manna, the tabernacle, Canaan even, where we find our rest in him, like Hebrews 4 tells us. The priests, the prophets, the king, the temple. So Christ is what Scripture is all about. And when Christ physically left this earth after his resurrection, he promised to send his comforter. If you were at Women to Women, you would have heard a devotional by Heather Weeb. And it was on the Holy Spirit. And she took us through John 14. I really wanted to bring the notes today and have them copied out, and I left without them, unfortunately. But I'm sure you can get them from Heather. Where she took a list of just every point from that chapter and showed us how we are comforted. All the things that comfort us. And we can do that with just about any chapter in the Bible. But the Holy Spirit is the comforter. And he gave these words to chosen men who faithfully wrote them down. And with these words, we comfort each other because they are the truth of God, empowered by him. So I remember a while ago, I read an article about comforting somebody who was grieving. And it actually, you know, was an article to Christians, but it said that sometimes in a time of deep grief, giving scripture to someone is too much for them to handle. And I just thought, what? Like, that just immediately, what do you mean? Like, if I am ever sick or in need, would somebody please give me scripture? I just thought, boy, with COVID and being alone in the hospital, some of these people, I told my kids, if that happens, seriously, I want a recorder with scripture going nonstop. That's what I want to have. We know that there's the fact that the Holy Spirit himself is the comforter. And it just made me ask myself, is it possible that God's word is ever too much for us to bear? These words inspired by the comforter himself, are they too powerless to build us up? Or too weak to comfort us in our time of sorrow? Too offensive for our minds to be a help? Or too harsh to actually be a comfort? I remember there was an old movie, A Few Good Men, that there's a famous courtroom scene in it, and Tom Cruise shouts, "I want the truth." And then Jack Nicholson thunders back, "You can't handle the truth." And it seems to me that's what that article was saying. Like we can't handle the comfort of God's word. That just didn't make sense to me. We do know that Ecclesiastes tells us there's a time and a season. There's even a time for silence. We know that in raw grief, there's shock. And you can't handle, your mind literally isn't going to absorb a lot of things. But I'm talking in our everyday circumstances and in our ongoing long-term things that we deal with, we need this source of comfort. An example of that silent treatment is found in the book of Job. And we know that after all, Job suffered such a lot in such a short time. He was definitely in a state of shock for sure. And we know that his friends came. And does anybody remember what his friends initially did? Yeah, sat in silence for 7 days. That's a long time. So initially when we read that, we think, wow, those were some good friends. They just knew just to be with them. And it's true that our presence brings comfort, definitely. Just your being there with somebody in time of grief is a great help. But 7 days, that is a long time. And I just want to look at the big picture and remember that Job's friends didn't really have an accurate picture of what was going on with Job or why he was suffering the way he did. And maybe they should have spoken up a little sooner. But I got to thinking that's actually what Job himself did. After all that happened to him, what did he do? He said, Scripture, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So ultimately, they failed to comfort Job, but Job himself proclaimed the truth of the Lord. And so we need to comfort one another with these words. It takes other believers and the words of God, and this is God's prescription for comfort. We know that his words are sweeter than honey. And we mentioned food as being a source of sometimes what we turn to for comfort. But his words are sweet to our taste. They're sweeter than honey to our mouth. Psalm 119, verse 50 says, This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. This is my comfort, your promise. And then later on in that same psalm, it says, When I think of your rules from of old, I take comfort. So definitely the psalmist is taking comfort right from the word of God. Let's go ahead and turn to Romans 15, 4 together. Romans 15, 4. Romans 15, 4 says, For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. What's really fun there is that word encouragement is really the same exact word for comfort. I wonder why they didn't just translate it that. It's the same exact word. It comes from that Greek word, paraklesis, comfort. The Holy Spirit is called the parakletos, the comforter. And so through the endurance and through the comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. So this makes perfect sense since the Holy Spirit is the inspirer of scripture. The comforter inspired it. So would the Holy Spirit not comfort us by bringing it to our minds? John 14, 26, one of the verses Heather went over. But the helper, or the comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So there in that verse, we have the link between the comforter and what the comforter does as the comforter. The comforter brings God's word to our minds so that we can understand it and so that we can receive it. Have you ever thought about him being the comforter? How does the Holy Spirit comfort us? But just think about it for a minute. He's not bringing us food. He's not giving us a hug. How does he comfort us? Does he comfort us apart from the word of God? Does he whisper it's going to be okay? Honestly, it's just the same as saying all things work together for good. So the Holy Spirit's job is to communicate, and he communicates Christ to us. And we're constantly growing in our knowledge of Christ, and we're sharing in his sufferings. So the Holy Spirit is linking us to Christ and to his sufferings to learn more about our Savior, who suffers more than we do. And he makes it possible for us to even have communication with God to begin with by regenerating our spirits, by making us new, by making our spirits new. We now have that ability to have that connection of communication where he can teach us and we can receive God's truth. So if we are to be comforted, our hearts have to be stirred. And if we want to affect the heart, what powerful tool do we have? I know this is nothing new this morning, but we have the word of God that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide asunder soul and spirit, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We know that when Peter preached to the large crowd at Pentecost, it says they were pricked to the heart. It's truth that sets us free. It's truth that comforts us. And so this is why we comfort one another with these words. God's word has the power to change us and bring us life. It certainly has the power to comfort us. C.S. Lewis said, "You can never find comfort by searching for it. But if you search for truth, you may get comfort too." So our comfort truly does come from knowing God's truth. But just like love is an action, love is a verb, to comfort someone is to act. If you heard somebody tell someone, "I'm sending you good vibes, I'm sending you good thoughts," I'm like, nah, sorry, but you're really not. No. But I think we can all think of a time when we ourselves have been comforted, every single person in this room. And the funny thing is that I was actually preparing for this lesson several weeks ago, and I was just having a bad, kind of a sad downer of a day. And I actually put it aside. I thought, my mind is scattered. I can't think. I'm just going to put this away. And immediately I get a text on my phone, somebody comforting. And then I got a second text. It wasn't just, "Hi, how are you doing? Thinking of you." It was verses. And I thought, "That's funny, God." Just putting this lesson right into practice. But that's what he does. And that's what we need. We need his prescription for comfort. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 7. And we're going to read verses 6 and 7. "But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he was comforted by you, as he told us of your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced still more." In this passage, we see that God is the God of all comfort. He comforts the downcast. And we know that he is the source of all comfort. And in this passage, Paul and Timothy were literally downcast. They needed comfort. They were physically exhausted. They had endured a bunch of afflictions, fighting against them from the outside and fears against them from the inside. And how did God comfort them? By sending another believer. So Paul calls God the God of all comfort. And yet, even though he gives credit to the ultimate source of God, being the comforter, he goes right to showing how God actually accomplished this by sending a person. I also thought it's interesting that it mentions that Titus was able to be a comfort to Paul and Timothy because he himself had been comforted by the believers in Corinth. So it's the circle of comfort. But it wasn't the mere presence of Titus that was so comforting. I think it was more than that. Titus comforted Paul and Timothy, it says, by the comfort with which he himself had experienced. And the nature of that comfort, we can get some clues from verse 7. We know that the Corinthian believers were accepting of Paul. We know there had been some clashes there, probably. That they had longed for Paul. They properly repented, and they were grieved over their previous conduct that caused Paul grief. And then they were zealous to have even more of Paul's presence and teachings. So we know that Paul had previously given them some faithful wounds and some very difficult chastisement, some harsh rebuke. Other than Galatians, I think Corinthians is one of the most correcting books in the Bible. But Paul had delivered to them God's word of truth. And God's word had instructed and corrected them and brought them to repentance. Remember that even godly correction comforts us, according to Hebrews, because it reminds us that we are sons of God. But I want us to look at the end of the first letter to Corinthians. If you look at the end, just flip there. If you look at the very first chapter of 1 Corinthians, the very last chapter. The last chapter is just all the greetings. You know, it's the conclusion. So to me, I'm going back one chapter further to 15. That's where Paul's instruction concluded. But remember that the rest of Corinthians, chapters 1 through 14, is a lot of harsh reality for them, a lot of things that they had to deal with and change, and a lot of faithful wounds from Paul. But then chapter 15, what is that about? What does he conclude all of his instruction with. This is known as the resurrection chapter. 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter. So he's pointing them to their eschatological hope, the future hope that they have, which is really what our lesson is all about. This reminds us of that verse from 1 Thessalonians 4:18, therefore comfort one another with these words. It was comfort based on God's word of hope for their future. So Paul had comforted the Corinthians. He rebuked them first, but then he comforts them. He leaves them with, don't forget the hope, the resurrection, the finality of what we have in Christ. And Paul had comforted them, and then they comforted Titus, and then Titus comforted Paul and Timothy again. So really, Paul was comforted because he gave comfort. It's that circle of comfort, and that is God's economy. He does not waste what he does in people's hearts, keeps it going. So this is the great example of how our ultimate comfort lies in hearing the word of truth, especially regarding our future inheritance in Christ, and how it comes through God's means of passing from believer to believer. And Jesus himself also demonstrated this principle for us in comforting others with eschatological hope. When Lazarus died and his sister Mary came to Jesus, do you remember the words Jesus said to her? I am the resurrection. He was comforting her with future hope. And Paul did the same thing in 1 Thessalonians 4. Those believers there were grieving because their loved ones had died. And they were wondering about them missing out on different things. And Paul said that you may not grieve as others who do not have hope. And then he goes on to tell them about the trumpet and the dead being raised and the snatching up of believers. And he ends by saying, comfort one another with these words, with the truth of your hope in the future. So the main point Kim Cummings is bringing home to us in the first half of this week's lesson is that we are to comfort one another by giving hope. And that hope comes from giving them the living words of God's truth. So biblical hope is the assurance that all the good future things that God has promised will take place. Our comfort ultimately lies in the hope we have in our future with God. 1 Peter 5:4 says, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Colossians 3:4 says, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then shall you also appear with him in glory. And 2 Timothy 4:8 says, henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So it is Christ's appearing that is our blessed hope, and we comfort one another with these words. So far, we've mainly focused on the first half of our lesson, a love that offers hope in action. And rest assured, I'm not going to spend that much time on the second half. I'm going to sum it up in 1 minute. But in the second half of this week's lesson, it was titled, A Love That Seeks the Good of Others. And Kim Cummings is pointing us to what we should do when we are downcast, especially if we're downcast because of how someone has treated us. She's focusing on loving our enemies, loving those who are difficult to love. And in a very real sense, I was thinking we really comfort ourselves when we bless those who have wronged us, because it is more blessed to give than to receive. And God's word calls us to be kind and to pray for our enemies and to be gentle. And Kim says, it is in these moments we are most like Christ, who bore the sins of his enemies so that they might become sons and daughters. So all that we've been thinking about today can be summed up in 2 Corinthians 1, 3-5. Let's just turn there. 2 Corinthians 1, 3-5. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. So God comforts us through his word. He comforts us through people. And God's command for us is very simple. Just be that. Be kind. Do good. And use the living, powerful tool that the Lord has given us and that the Lord loves to work through. Comfort one another with these words. So there's lots of this lesson left to discuss in your groups today. So I hope you all have a good time in doing that. Let's just close in prayer. Father, we are not hearing new things this morning, but we're being reminded of wonderful truths. Lord, how powerful your word is. Let us not ever neglect it. Let us use this powerful tool that you have given us. Father, we thank you for your perfection, that you are working in us, causing us to be more like your Son. We thank you for the comfort you give us. We thank you for these living words, for the hope that you've given us. And Father, I pray that you will bless the ladies in their groups as they go about to discuss the rest of this lesson. Lord, let there be honesty and transparency. Let there be edification and building up of your people. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.